This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Pin Chasers. Anthony Peroni, fellow Canes fan, is celebrating 60 years at Pin Chasers. 60 years, Pin Chasers has been providing a fun venue for people of all ages and all generations in the Tampa Bay area. Three locations, 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills, 4847 North Armenia in Midtown Tampa, 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue, just east of the Veterans Expressway. Pinchasers.net is where you go for more information. And because I'm recording this Toddcast to start the weekend, it is Friday the 13th. If you need to get out of the heat, if you need to get out of the rain, if you need to get out of the heat after the rain this weekend in the Tampa Bay area, if you go to Pin Chasers and buy a two-hour bowling block, Pin Chasers will donate $5 to Big Brothers, Big Sisters all weekend long. You can visit the Pin Chasers Facebook page for more on their Selfless September. I know Anthony Peroni is very philanthropic, and he gave, I believe, a check for $6,000 to my friends at the Apple a Day Foundation that also benefited in a much more modest sense from my most recent golf tournament, the Todd Wright Tour Championship, where we auctioned off the spot to play with our friend Drew Garabo of Drew Garabo Live and 102.5 The Bone, also an endorser of Pin Chaser. So well done, Anthony Peroni. Go Canes. They need it. Again, all weekend long at any of the three Pin Chasers location, when you buy a two-hour bowling block, Pin Chasers donates $5 to Big Brothers, Big Sisters. All weekend, all three locations. Go to the Pin Chasers Facebook page for more details or visit pinchasers.net. All right, Full Torque Fitness, also a presenter of the Todd Wright Toddcast. Tell you more about them. I'm trying to do now sort of the second ad that breaks up the content a little bit. We'll see how that goes, so just hang with me. Remember, unlike many quality people providing content in the fantasy universe, they make you pay directly for the content. I don't do that with my podcasts. They're free because we know how to get sponsors. So just listen to the sponsors and their mentions for 90 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever it is, knowing that you're not paying for the content overall as you would somewhere else. It's especially prevalent now in fantasy football, and I hate that trend. And I refuse to make people pay for fantasy content. Instead, I know how to get sponsors to pay for it so you don't have to. All right, so be open to the sponsors and what I have to say about them. All right, so more on Full Torque Fitness in a moment. Let's dig right in. This is episode 49 of the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'd like to welcome those of you who perhaps are new to the Todd Wright Toddcast. Welcome. That episode 48 got your attention. I stand by every word of that Toddcast. And in addition, that's not the only ex-player on television covering the NFL who to me is fraudulent. There's an earlier Toddcast about Chris Sims and how he ranked Tom Brady and Drew Brees before this season started as the 9th and 10th best quarterbacks in the NFL. You heard me right. Chris Sims ranked Tom Brady 9th best and Drew Brees 10th best. This had nothing to do with fantasy points. This is Chris Sims ranking the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And before the season began, he ranked Tom Brady 9th and Drew Brees 10th. Ironically, the quarterbacks that most people believe are the favorites to oppose one another in this coming year's Super Bowl. Make any sense? So when Chris Sims somehow sits on that Sunday night desk between guys who've won Super Bowls like Rodney Harrison and Tony Dungy and one of the best true professional broadcasters in the business, who also made me feel as comfortable when I started at ESPN as anybody in that building did. Thank you, Mike Tirico. Chris Sims, I would like Mike Tirico or Tony Dungy or Rodney Harrison to turn to Chris Sims and say, hey, so how are your quarterback rankings look now? You know, Brady and Breeze looked pretty good in week one, didn't they? Make him accountable for what he says. I think if more analysts and more sports commentators were actually held accountable for what they say, you would view them the way I do, and perhaps we'd get better sports commentators rather than ones being hired who simply say things that are unresearched or simply give you nothing. So add Sims to the list if you're new to the Toddcast. Now let me move forward to the focus of today's Toddcast, which is overreaction week one. I love that NFL Live on ESPN does overreaction Monday. I love it. It's got enough sarcasm to take the edge off the segment overall and create legitimate talking points. I think they do it very well. Yes, I can praise things as easily as I can rip them. So to take a page, and I attribute as well, out of NFL Live's Overreaction Monday, I'm going to do a version of Overreaction Week 1. As after 1 week of the NFL season and one game, because this is the Friday after Tampa Bay's win over Carolina, which I told all of you on Gil Alexander's show in my regular Thursday morning appearance on a numbers game on VSiN, which is also heard on Sirius XM. As I was talking fantasy plays about Bucks and Panthers, I said, barring two more pick sixes by Jameis Winston, there was no way that game was going to get to 50 total points, which meant it was a very solid underplay last night, and that came in easily. You're welcome. So 1 week and one game in, I'm going to jump 4 months ahead, because what's the one thing in 4 months, other than your New Year's plans or the Christmas gift you need to return or re-gift, what's the one thing in football that overshadows the playoffs? The teams that need new head coaches and the teams that look like they need new quarterbacks. That overshadows, except when the games are being played, the teams that actually have head coaches who get them to the playoffs and have quarterbacks that get them to the playoffs. We want to know what the changes are, and we want to know them as soon as possible. So I'm going to jump 4 months ahead, and I'm going to give you six NFL teams that I think are most likely to be changing coaches next season, and six teams that are most likely to be looking for a new starting quarterback next season, just based off 1 week and one game, one additional game. Let's start with the one team on the list that clicks both boxes. Any guesses? Anyone? Anyone? Ah, you got it. The Dolphins. You already know they'll be looking for a quarterback. You knew that before Fitzmagic showed up. You knew that before the Rosen deal. It's just confirmed already. Whether they tank or not, whether it's Tagovailoa or Herbert or someone else, you already knew that. They'll blow out Flores as well. They will. Look, Hugh Jackson just showed you don't stick with a losing coach who doesn't have the attention of his team. You don't. And because of that example, that's why the Dolphins will totally move on from this season and act like it never happened. And whether that's fair to the current head coach and his assistants or not, as the judge said in Caddyshack when Danny said he might not have enough money to go to college, quote, well, the world needs ditch diggers too. So expect the Dolphins to be looking for a new head coach, and that head coach has the input on the new quarterback, and it's a package deal in 4+ months. Now, I mentioned Hugh Jackson, which is interesting because the next team on my list is his former team that clearly turned it around once they got him the hell out of the building. And that's the Cleveland Browns. But to take the next step, it has been my opinion all along, they need an actual head coach, not someone retained from the previous staff, and someone with actual head coaching experience. Part of the problem in week one was a lack of discipline from the Browns, and most of us saw that coming as it related to Coach Freddie Kitchens. I said openly on my podcast, Odell Beckham Jr. will walk all over this guy. He's already wearing $250,000 watch on the field, and you know Kitchens isn't going to do squat about it because it'll just create a bigger problem. It will be like Mayock finding Antonio Brown in Oakland and Brown posting it on Instagram and then saying that he wants to punch Mayock in the face and call him names. So Kitchens, to me, will be the reason the Browns don't realize their lofty expectations, and there will be a change there at the end of the season. Tennessee, to me, will be in the market for a new quarterback. This is pretty simple. It's contractual. Marcus Mariota is in his fifth year. The Titans picked up the fifth-year option on that original rookie deal when they picked him number two. He is making $20.9 million this year, and he played well in week one. And Mariota has some things to his credit in Nashville. He has a division title. He has a trip to the playoffs. He has a playoff win, a comeback win against the Kansas City Chiefs a couple of years ago. The problem with Mariota is he's maddeningly inconsistent. Doesn't look like he's improved the last few years. And he can't stay healthy enough to play at 100%. So the Titans have a choice. Renew him, knowing it's going to cost you minimum $30 million a season, or find somebody else. I think they'll choose the latter. And they'll be one of these teams that simply looks at their current quarterback situation and says, no, he's not worth that. Russell Wilson? Yeah. Carson Wentz? Yeah. Dak Prescott? Yeah. Marcus Mariota? No. Indianapolis will be looking for a quarterback. Just stop. Any of you saying, what about Jacoby Brissett? Just stop. Just stop. Jacoby Brissett is a backup quarterback. That's how the Colts viewed him. That's what he is. He could go out this season and prove me and others wrong, and I know he just got paid. But let's get real about this. He's a backup quarterback. The Colts just lost their franchise quarterback. They left the door open for Luck to come back. By the way, I think one of the more interesting scenarios that I've been whispered or asked about is, what if Luck wants to come back, but he doesn't want to come back with the Colts, similar to Megatron wanting to play more years in the NFL, but not for the Lions, and then Luck will use the fans' reaction to him retiring as basically the watershed moment that, yeah, I don't want to play for those people. Then what do the Colts do? What does Andrew Luck do? I've heard whispers Andrew Luck would love to play for Bruce Arians again. But the Colts will be looking for a new quarterback. It's only sensible after you have a guy who just yesterday turned 30 years old, and you have guys like Brady and Breeze playing into their 40s. You need to find the next guy. If you thought it was Brissett, you would have handled your business much differently the last few years. Now that brings us to one of the greatest quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era. And the amazing thing in how he is the worst quarterback evaluator there is. Is anyone worse at picking quarterbacks than John Elway? Anyone? Anyone? I think he, as Brittany would say, oops, I did it again. As Drew Locke was plummeting on draft boards, John Elway swooped in and grabbed him on day two. Is Drew Locke any factor right now? At any point in the near future, can we envision Drew Locke being a factor? I don't. Elway brought in Joe Flacco. We heard, oh, Joe Flacco's got all these great years left. Did you watch the Monday night game? What'd you see? The correct answer is not much. So I think the Broncos will, again, be in the market for a quarterback going into next season. It's almost an annual thing. And for those of you saying, well, Elway did get Peyton Manning and won a Super Bowl. No. Manning chose Elway. It wasn't the other way around. Elway just had to make sure he didn't screw it up. All right, let me quickly tell you about Full Torque Fitness before we do the NFC teams that are on one or both of these lists. Full Torque Fitness is a Todd Wright Tour golf tournament sponsor. They come out, Daniel Shipman specifically, and often others, with these huge massage tables and stretch my golfers before they play their round at Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Daniel's been doing this for a while. He does it not only for Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, he does about 5 golf tournaments a month at various courses in the Tampa Bay area. I'm flattered he wanted to do it for mine, and we started this relationship. Daniel has the ability to put you through a Titleist. This is not at my tournament. He just does the free stretching, but he can tell you more while he's stretching you about all he does. He can put you through a Titleist Performance Institute screen to find your limitations, build a program that removes them, and get the most out of your swing and your game. So if you play golf, but you experience low back pain, if you get tired on the golf course, if you're exhausted by the time you finish 18 rounds, don't write it all off as the heat. Some of it might be your physical condition. Or do you feel like your hips aren't working correctly and you should be hitting the golf ball with more flight and more accurately? Well, that's where Daniel Shipman comes in. And depending on what you have to spend, he can do one-on-one personal training or small group individualized training. Visit his website and find out more. FullTorqueFitness.com, FullTorqueFitness.com, 727-351-5164. Daniel often also buys foursomes in my tournaments and gives them away to his clients. Yeah. So if you've never played in a Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, not that I charge very much, but if you become a client of Daniel Shipman's, you might end up playing in one of my tournaments for free. Visit FullTorqueFitness.com. Thank you, Daniel Shipman. All right, the NFC side of this. Washington, I think, will be looking for a new coach at the end of the year. It just feels like it's about the end of the Jay Gruden run. He hasn't done anything great. Honestly, I don't think he's done much wrong either. The Redskins are, of all the major sports, they're sort of one of those very unique franchises where maybe they win in spite of ownership, and when they lose, it's because of ownership. Jay has survived there longer than most people thought. Jay is a superhuman being. I've known Jay for a long time through his Arena Football League days. Once did a radio segment. Even John remembers it. In my national radio days, I had John and Jay on at the same time. It was great. I think very highly of Jay Gruden. But what does he really have in Washington? What does he have? Left tackle's holding out. They drafted a new lead running back the last 2 years who's given them all of, what, one game? One game for two seasons. Not much in the receiving core. Just dumped Josh Dotson. Now you got a rookie quarterback, but you brought in Case Keenum. It's messy. It's not all Jay's fault. And Jay will resurface quickly just like Adam Gase did, either as a head coach or quickly, as Dirk Cutter did, as an offensive coordinator. It just feels like it's time. I think Dallas is on this list. And yes, I'm the Cowboys fan. Now, for those of you who are also Cowboys fans, God bless you. At the same time, we got to think about this realistically. Jason Garrett's in the last year of his contract. Jerry doesn't double down. Jerry triples down. And when Jerry's been asked about Jason Garrett's deal, Jerry's been very forthright that nothing was going to change, that he expects Jason to win and win big. Look, the Cowboys have won under Jason Garrett, things that escape the mind of Cole Beasley. They've won three division titles in the last 5 years, and they've won two playoff games in the last 5 years. But it's not enough for Jerry. It's been 24 years since they've gone to a Super Bowl. And those five trophies are fun to market and fun to look at in the Cowboys at the Star and in the Cowboy team store at Jerry World. But I think Jerry's ready to give it some company. And he wants Garrett to deliver it. And he wants it this year. And if Garrett doesn't get to at least the conference championship game and have a quality performance where even Jerry has to say, yeah, we weren't as good as New Orleans, or yeah, we're just not as good as the Rams, something like that. I think Jerry, as always, has his eye on Sean Payton, who may or may not say I'm done in New Orleans if Drew Brees says he's done playing in the NFL after the end of this year. You know, Drew Brees retiring from the NFL would at least prevent Chris Sims from embarrassing himself, evaluating Drew Brees and calling him the 10th best quarterback in the league again. But if Sean Payton isn't available, clearly Jerry would have his eye on Lincoln Riley, who is cranking out Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks who look NFL ready on an every year basis at Oklahoma. And anyone who knows anything about Jerry knows Jerry considers that southwest portion, that Big Eight SEC West, that's his turf. That's how he builds the Cowboys. It would only make sense if Lincoln Riley was one of his targets. The Detroit Lions, I think, will be ready for a new coach at the end of the season. We go through this every, 2 to 4 years with the Detroit Lions, where Well, they're the only team in the NFC who's never done either of the following: host an NFC championship game or win an NFC championship game. The other 15 have all done at least one or both. The man wearing the garbage bag on the sideline with the damn pencil and the beard. No, it's not happening. Sure, the Lions could stick with him another year, but I hope someone has some sense in the room there to figure, yeah, we probably should never hired this guy. Patricia would just go back to New England, do what he does there. But it's not a fit in Detroit, and nothing good's happening there. The Buccaneers should be looking for a new quarterback at the end of the season. This is very similar to Marcus Mariota. As a matter of fact, it's even easier. Winston was drafted 1 5 years ago, Mariota 2. Everything I just said about Mariota's contract applies to Winston. So at the end of this year, the Buccaneers, if they want to renew Jameis Winston, will be forced with the same threshold of how much they're going to have to pay. Minimum $30 million a year. Yeah, I know. It's laughable, isn't it? The Bucs have never signed a quarterback they drafted to a second deal. And there doesn't seem to be any reason why they should do that in the case of Jameis Winston. Not only for his off-field crap, but for his continued struggles on the field. San Francisco, I think, could be looking for a new coach as well. There's just nothing happening here. I mean, I could make the case they could move on from Garoppolo, and believe it or not, there'd only be $4 million in dead money. I know you're thinking, well, wait, Garoppolo just signed that deal. No, the Niners can walk away after this season from Garoppolo, and there's only $4 million in dead money. And then you know Garoppolo would probably go back to New England, unless New England knew he was not that good all along. But I'll save my last quarterback for another NFC team and just stick with Kyle Shanahan, whose hiring was after his horrible play calling that, as much as anything, cost the Falcons winning a Super Bowl 3 years ago. If anything, the defense appears to be improving in San Francisco. And I don't give Kyle Shanahan any credit for that. He's an offensive guy. Congrats. You have a defense that plays well, but you don't get any credit from me for that. John Lynch will feel the heat after this season for poor decisions on running backs. I mean, this offense just doesn't have anything. It has, at the skill positions, George Kittle, and more people questioning Garoppolo now than praising the move. So I think Kyle Shanahan is the one who falls on the sword at the end of another disappointing season in San Francisco, if not Lynch and if not Garoppolo. But let me save my last quarterback for this list for the guy who played so poorly last night in the loss to Tampa Bay. And that's the one-time league MVP, Cam Newton, and how far he's fallen. Doesn't matter if it's injury, physical, whatever. I've said many times on my podcast that three teams last year in the NFL quit. The Jaguars quit because they quit on Blake Bortles. They got rid of Bortles, bring in Foles. Yeah, Foles is injured. That's tough. But they quit on Blake Bortles. The Packers quit on Mike McCarthy. McCarthy was removed. The Packers have a new coach and are trying to press on. And I said, Carolina quit and nothing changed. They didn't change any coaches. They didn't change any players. Yeah, I know there were little changes, but you know what I'm talking about. I think they've quit on Cam Newton. I think they're just sick of his bullshit. And you know what? You deal with the bullshit when you're winning. You deal with the bullshit when you do have to step back, look at the big picture, and say, damn, that guy's good. Damn, he moves the chains. Look at the pounding he takes and he keeps getting up. Look at the throws he makes. Look at the third and fourth and ones he converts. That's not happening anymore. Carolina went, I believe, on fourth down 3 times last night. All 3 times, they were basically running gadget plays out of shotgun formation. On fourth and one? And you have Christian McCaffrey? Look, I know Christian McCaffrey is not Franco Harris running behind Rocky Blyer. But look at his numbers between the tackles last year. And you're calling gadget plays on fourth and one in the shotgun? These used to be givens with Cam Newton. He gets under center, he takes the snap, and he jumps. And he leaps forward, first down. Is that over? Also, some of his throws. I mean, as inaccurate as Jameis Winston is on downfield throws, Cam was as bad or worse last night. It's been 4 years since Carolina had that, 15-1 season and then flopped in the Super Bowl. And Cam went into post-game, post-mortem mode and was even made fun of by Conan on late-night television. I think the room always hated it. I've heard stories about what a diva he is, and how he does his own thing. He goes by his own rules. He shows up. He gets on the bus when he wants. He eats a different post-game meal from everybody else. I know that for a fact because I know someone who's catered the post-game meals. Yeah. It's one thing when you're league MVP. You can get away with that shit. When you're not league MVP and you're not helping your team, you can't get away with it anymore. If you're wondering about Cam Newton's contract, I have all the details you need. I was actually talking about this with Gil Alexander last night via text. Carolina can walk away from Cam Newton at the end of this season, and there's only $2 million in dead money. $2 million in dead money. They would save $19 million against next year's cap. And that's it. There's nothing else left on the deal. It's that simple. There's no 2021 on the deal. That's it. I think Carolina throwing a draft pick at Will Greer was kind of the start of the process. And Carolina losing their first 2 home games of 2019, one to a Super Bowl contender in the Rams, and one to maybe a 5-win team in the Buccaneers, kind of confirms they should start thinking about who's going to be their next quarterback, because they can very easily walk away from Cam at the end of this year and are only responsible for $2 million in dead money in the last year of Cam's deal. He has no guarantees left. So those are the 6-6. Coach, Miami, Cleveland, Washington, Dallas, Detroit, San Francisco. Quarterback, Miami, Tennessee, Indy, Denver, Tampa Bay, Carolina. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast, presented by Full Torque Fitness and by Pin Chasers. Subscribe to the Todd Wright Toddcast. You can also follow me on Facebook, Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida, or on Instagram at Todd Wright 2019.